Welcome everyone to season 3, episode 7 of the Fresh Pinball Podcast. We are back and better than ever after a little bit of a sabbatical. We're back behind these microphones.
Episode 7, is that what you said?
Of season 3.
Wow.
Season 3?
Yeah.
I mean, time flies when you're having fun.
Apparently. I was thinking about it the other day. I didn't even look. I was just like, how many episodes have we done? Because I have no idea.
No, I mean, it's more important how many seasons we've done than episodes.
I think season 4 is coming up.
I mean, it's about time to make that turn into season 4, I think. Oh, if you hear that, we've got some Rick and Morty attract mode going here.
Commercials.
Yeah, we've got to be ready for the Rick and Morty. Mm. All right, around the table we shall go. To my left, I have on the board the birthday boy himself.
Yeah, here in about 20 minutes or an hour.
How we feeling,
Kyle?
Feeling flippin' fantastic.
That's what I like to hear. And across from the table to me, the person that I have nothing left to say to today because we were in the truck all day long, Mr. Corbin. How are we feeling, buddy?
Doing good. You know, it was a day. It was a day for sure.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more as this episode progresses.
I'm shocked just that we've had this many episodes, I guess. That's
seasons and episodes.
Wild.
Yeah. And to my right, Zach. How are we doing, buddy?
Flipping fantastic.
Oh, so many flipping fantastic.
Hanging out with my pinball pals.
You really are.
I just had to steal it from you, Zach.
It's okay. It's so good. Yeah, I'm willing to share. Okay, you know, good.
When people don't tell me they're flipping fantastic, then I just get disappointed.
Well, I'm doing good.
All right, so let's kick.
I'm all right. Yeah, just hanging out.
Everything's fine. You know, keeping on. So a little fact check here. I don't actually have a whole lot from the last episode, but I did have. So when Stern posted their Playfield Press video that we were commenting on, the one that they leave out that I was surprised by was actually Data East. So I don't know if that was just a clerical error.
What else would they have used?
I don't know.
Surely, we'll have to ask her.
So it's actually interesting, as we were unboxing some of the X-Men LEs this week, I was marveling at how nice the clear coat has been on all of the playfields of those that I've seen. They've been like the thickest clear coat and the nicest that I've seen.
I saw today looked pretty solid. And I didn't see the second one. Did they flip the head up when you were, did you see it?
Yeah, so those two today I saw both and they looked nice. And then the one that I did on Friday also looked pretty spectacular. So whoever out there is refining the QC processes over there at Stern, pat on the back for you. Kudos cookie or something, because playfields are looking nice.
Pizza Friday.
Yeah, we haven't sent pizza over to Stern for a while. We might need to pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
And then I had seen that we briefly talked about Hexa's game Space Hunt and possibly wanting to try to bring that over here, and just the shipping costs and all of that stuff were kind of mounted to too much to really make it worthwhile. I saw that they had it out on the streets of France.
I saw that too. And there's still very little gameplay video. I mean, I looked the other day.
What did Pastime just get? Didn't they just get one of those? Or what did I tell you? Was it that one or a different one?
I thought it was the basketball one that they got.
You might be right.
Yeah.
I'll check. I think you're right though.
Yeah, still, I think they did one. There was like one brief little something of it very early on, and that's all I've ever seen.
Yeah. Huh. And that was like 2 years ago now, I feel like.
Probably. That was very early in development.
Yeah.
Now we need, if there are any listeners out there that own a cargo ship or something, like
private plane. All sorts of stuff I need shipped over from overseas.
Right. I mean, we have cars, the German PO box figured out, but like we need something like maybe a container ship. So
then the playfields are going to hag us on us.
They might. But if they can help us, Zach, where should they email?
Freshpinball@gmail.com.
That's right. I wanted to take a moment to commemorate this episode to a family member that we lost this past week. Our brother in arms, one of the Fresh Pinball Podcast puppies, Scrapper. So a quick moment of silence here for our buddy Scrapper. Love you, buddy.
All right, be a little buddy.
Thanks, Jeff.
Of course. Some pets are more family to me than my actual family.
Well, absolutely. You know, like when your 100-year-old grandma dies, it's not it's sometime relieving, but when your friend of 15 years goes, it's...
It's hard.
Yeah.
What do we got? Is we got some hex over at Pastimes? Oh, man, we need to get to Pastimes. Let's do a Pastimes. In Girard, Ohio, there
according
is
to Pinball Map.
A space hunt. Ooh.
Ooh, we do have to go.
Well, now the pressure's off. We don't have to import it now.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We can go test it out.
Let's go Sunday. It'll be fine. It out then.
I'm just surprised we haven't seen anything.
Well, we need to go over and stream it.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we could go play it at least. I'm not sure if I'm committing to that. Where's Nick doing? Talk to Nick.
A small...
Isn't that the streaming guy? What's his
yeah, Nick Camps. NEO Pinball.
Yeah, well, what's he can
we'll
do?
We'll invite him and Matt Owen can write a nice article. Yeah. We'll invite them both out.
And we can see. Just play it.
Yeah. Of course. That's what we do.
Mainly just playing it.
Maybe we can get in early.
So... Or, like, I don't know how long they've had it, but maybe after they have had it for a while, we trade them something else that's kind of rare for them to have out there, and we have the
Honey
space.
Factory.
Yeah, I mean, there's
Honey Factory.
Honey Factory.
Mm. Rob did
Jetsons, because
like
they have the other homebrew Jetsons there already, so they could have Jetsons side by side. Okay. I feel like we have some options.
Yeah.
Maybe some Dominoes.
That's crazy to think that we own games that Rob Burke doesn't.
That's right.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
That makes it kind of special.
It does. It'd be just cool to try the hex out.
Yeah, I want to check it out for sure.
Yes, we need to get over there. Because I know they're closing up the week of Expo because all of their resources will be out in Chicago. Right.
Yeah, I saw that.
I wonder if they'll pull some of that kind of stuff and take it out there.
Yeah, I was just thinking, because like Magic Girl went out there last year.
It would be cool if Space Hunt was...
It probably will be.
That would be...
Because that's one that I don't think I've... Like we said, I haven't seen anywhere else landed on...
Do they do a game list for Expo? Like if you go to the website? I don't remember seeing one in the past. Because I'd imagine it would just be like too extensive for all of the games that they like bring to
every
list
edible
them ever. All out.
Mike Hill.
It would be hard let's to keep Mike to Hill. A list too. Like, oh man, this broke the day before the Expo. And
yeah, without a doubt.
And
yeah.
People would hold you to it and they'd be so annoying.
Yeah, like, where's your it's whatever? Not here.
Right.
Where's your whatever? I did have a few complaints at Kleepin.
Oh, for which game?
Ninja Eclipse.
So Ninja Eclipse will be...
I had like two or three people ask me. I'm like,
without a doubt, it is on the trailer. It is going to PGX. It will be... Yeah. So PGX is going to be October 4th through the 6th. And we're going to have...
A whole list.
We're going to have... Let's see here. We're going to have Punny Factory out there.
Punny BBQ.
That's right.
We're going to have that Ninja Eclipse.
Yep.
We're going to have...
Ultraman?
I think... did we cut Ultraman? Ultraman's going still. Yeah, Ultraman's going still. I think Jetsons is going, and I think there's a 6, isn't there? What am I forgetting?
So we had Avatar, Punny Factory, Barrios, Ultraman, Jetsons, Avatar. And Ninja Eclipse. Nice. That's a pretty, you know, you've got a JJP in there, you've got a Pinball Adventures, an American, two Spookies, and a Turner Pinball. Oh, yeah. So anyone that missed it at the Cleveland show, come on out to the Pittsburgh show, and you're going to see Ninja Eclipse, and you can play some other funness, too.
Yeah. Talking about Avatar's been...
Shout out Pittsburgh Mike Bears.
Yeah, Mike Bear, Mike...
Mike Hogue.
Yeah, all of the Mikes, really are making dreams come true.
Yeah, where is that at? It's at the...
So that's at the Monroeville Convention Center.
Okay.
I think this is... I know at least the third year where they've had pinball machines, and they've just been adding to it.
Because it's primarily arcades, right?
So it started out as like tabletop gaming.
Right.
That was the primary drive of the show, and then they added in some retro console gaming, and then arcade games, and now it's evolved into...
This is all hand in hand. It all just goes together, like you keep saying.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the first delivery that we made today, the Alien Ripley edition, was a couple
I
that were
forgot we did that one,
big
yeah.
into... tabletop gaming, and then they talked about going out and playing pinball on location and then making the investment to putting two of them in their home now, Jurassic Park and that Alien.
Well, I mean, Phil kind of found that same way.
Yes.
Actually, that was.
A
lot of people talk about it. It's the same sort of thing where it's a community. You know, there's the board game community, the pinball community, all of that stuff. It's just another social circle that people then... Our little butterflies flying around.
Yeah. We're just trying to get a bigger group. There's so many of us.
Always trying to add to the group. So that's PGX coming up. While we're talking about other events, let's go ahead and talk about other stuff that we have coming up. So at the end of October, Monday, October 28th, Quarter Up will be holding its Halloween party. costumes are encouraged, and we have a tentative lineup of some spooky games that we're going to be bringing.
We're going to surprise them, though, right?
Yeah. We could tease one, maybe. Sure. Something that...
We may or may not record another episode before then.
That
well.
Is very yeah. possible.
There's going to be a game that's black and white and takes place on Mockingbird Lane. That'll be making its public debut at Quarter Up.
We've only had the thing for like
a year?
6 months.
No, literally a year.
It's probably been two, right?
So that'll be a good time.
Where's that at, Pops?
Yeah.
So that'll be coming, that and a bunch of other spooky type games. But definitely there'll be a costume contest. We'll have some giveaways. Ben and the crew up there always absolutely knock it out of the park. So if you're in the Akron metropolitan area, come on out. Come down from Cleveland, up from Canton.
Yeah, I was glad to make it up there last time. I haven't been up there in a while.
Literally me, Corbin, and Anna are sitting at the bar, and Corbin and Anna are chowing down on some of the delicious foods that they have up there.
I can't believe how good the pricing is there.
Still,
it's very reasonable.
It's very reasonable. Yeah. Even like a decent beer is $5.
And I look to my right, sure. And who do I see sauntering into the Quarter Up but Mr. Kyle himself
wandering
coming
in. I thought I saw a ghost for a second.
It was
It's a drive from my place. So.
No doubt,
it is.
Dude, no doubt.
But yeah, it's Corbin and I were talking today. I don't think I remember you coming up for another one of the events since like this has been the friend group. So it was definitely. No.
I also didn't have the work schedule that I do now, so that helped too.
Makes it much more negotiable. All right, so previous to this, we also did, as Kyle alluded to, Kleepin. We set up our booth over there. We were adjacent to Compulsive Pinball, who brought out all of the Stern Heat. Anyone who attended the show was given the rare treat of seeing an extensive list of Stern LEs, most of them being Stern LE number 11. So that's Compulsive Pinball from Chris with Chris Myers and
Don Johnson. Everything seemed to be playing nice, too.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like games were down and...
No, they had several people. I know Steve Prusa was teching a little bit. Marvin was teching a little bit. They were doing a good job of keeping the games up and going. But over in our booth, we had some games come and go throughout the weekend because games were actually selling pretty briskly. But from time to time, we had, of course, the Punny Factory Engraved Edition. And then the star of the show, the one that probably got the most love, was the one that Corbin came in at like the 11th hour and brought up, a Jersey Jack Guns N' Roses limited edition, and people were absolutely rocking out on that game.
It's a cool game.
And it found a home by the end of the show as well, so we're going to be putting some modifications onto that.
Yep, the light showed up today for it.
So. Yeah. Some repairs, some cleaning, some everything else, and then...
Some levelers.
So two tall gentlemen actually bought it, and one of their requests was, hey, can we raise this game up a little
bit? Taller,
so
we got a set of taller legs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like bingo legs?
No, the flipper football ones.
I think they probably want their cool powder coated.
Yeah, probably.
I got a guy.
Yeah. We do have a guy
we
now.
We do have a guy, yeah.
But yeah, so GNR found a new home. The prototype Revenge from Mars was also on the end cap for a while. That found a new home.
I didn't get to play it. That thing wasn't around very much.
No.
Very long.
No. It came, it saw, it went,
it was
conquered.
We were trying not to move it into anywhere that it might stay for too long.
Yeah, yeah. Don't bring it into Zach's house. That's for sure.
And then we also sold one of like 500-ish Sega Godzillas. That went basically before the show even opened up. So that's on to a new home. And then from our friends at American Pinball, we had our Barry O's barbecue challenge there.
Always a barbecue party.
I like putting barbecue next to Punny Factory. And people
it's fun,
you know, they can go from one to the other.
They can decipher which one's better.
Right. And then from a fan favorite from Pin Brew Fest, we had William Slugfest, a nice little pitch and bat that... Everybody was having a good time on.
Did Corbin set that up with the music like way too freaking loud? I mean, I was there
for like.
It came
from my house.
Yeah.
Why was it so loud then?
That's a fair question. It's a fair question.
Came straight out of your
house. I was there for like 6 minutes and I went over and turned it down.
Yeah.
After somebody wasn't finally on it. Like,
I wonder if after I left on Friday night, if someone opened the coin door and turned it up, because I don't remember being that loud on Thursday and Friday.
I can't imagine it being loud at your house.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But if I would have had six of those Slugfests, I could have sold six Slugfests. Like, I had so many, like kids that were between 6 and 12 playing with either their mom or their dad or whatever. And it was just like awesome to see people playing 2-player games on that. They didn't quite have Ollie skills, but you know,
yeah.
Not everyone's that good. And then the final two games that we had up there, we had a shout out again to Sam Bowman, your former Ultraman CE was up there, and it ran all weekend like a champ with just one minor adjustment. So pretty pleased with that.
Yeah.
And then the final game we sold was to Grant. He picked up, Kyle, your old AIQ Pro.
Hey, it's great.
That's right. I forgot that.
And we'd had it for so long that I forgot half of the things that the game had. So whenever he got it home, he's like, this thing has a shaker motor. This thing has pin fidelity speakers in it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot all that stuff was in there.
Just like whatever Stern shit on. Yeah.
He's like, I got a great deal on this. I'm like, yeah, it sounds like you did.
Probably, man.
So Kleepin was a ton of fun. Shout out to Darkroom John for hanging out at the booth for the majority of the weekend. He brought some of his prints, and people were enjoying picking up some of those to put into their collections, to put onto their walls, onto their desks and whatnot. If you don't already, follow Darkroom_pinball on Instagram to see everything that John is up to in the
Cleveland
scene.
It's not just pinball stuff anymore. Yeah, I've been digging the variety.
Yeah, you were talking about
his old camcorder stuff he's been posting.
Old camcorder stuff. Yeah. What was, you said there was a Taco Bell Baja Blast concert or something?
That? Yeah, it's like a big punk thing they're doing up in Cleveland now.
Interesting.
You got to look up a video.
In
of
the
it.
Parking
great.
Lot of Taco Bell up there. Yeah, and really? He was taking a bunch of pictures of it. I actually saw like something
just
where
a
they
punk
posted
show.
Like
great.
Five different photographers, and he was one of them who took pictures at that show, you know, different perspectives of it.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting.
Different signage he's been doing stuff. Really cool stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but John's a must follow. He is an artiste, a professional, high-end photography. So moving on, let's talk a little Jersey Jack pinball. We've all had a little bit of time on Avatar LE. I've probably had the most of the group at the table. Corbin was nice enough to let me set it up at my house for, 4 or 5 days? And then we had a bunch of people over for our buddy Tank the Dog's birthday party.
Oh, wait.
But everybody came over and was rocking that out. Kyle, you're probably the biggest, I don't want to say Jersey Jack hater at the table, but you know, you're the most critical of their games. Yeah. What's your honest takeaways of Avatar?
It's pretty.
They always are.
Always
it's
very pretty.
But
awesome light shows.
I still don't like the flipper feel. And
what I'm just, did you I'm like? Just... The light show.
Yeah, the light show is nice.
It really feels like you're
I mean,
fishing.
I guess that little play field is kind of
so
fun
the one that's
the
pop bumper or the little one that has the crab suit with the tiny flippers?
Yeah, I don't care about the tiny flippers.
Okay, okay.
They all have that. Anything that has a lower play field in recent year just feels exactly like that.
How'd you feel about the UV lighting gimmick added to the game? Didn't do much for you.
I mean, it was cool looking, but I don't know.
I'm curious to see.
It was cool, but I feel like it wasn't like upside down mode where I was like, oh, this is sick.
It might be, something one of those situations.
I wonder if the CE is going to be like the upside down level. Like,
maybe.
Because the CE is supposed to have 3 different colors of UV.
And that version only has one.
Okay.
So one versus the 3, if I understand correctly.
Because I'm also interested to see on the CE, so they're powder coating the side armor, but then they're also hydro dipping it so that all of each and every set of armor is going to be unique because no 2 hydro dips are exactly the same.
Right. See them at, there's have some at Expo, right?
Oh, I can't imagine they wouldn't.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
I think it's one of those like
you played it.
I did. But if it was like in my basement and got some time with it, maybe I'd like it, but I don't know.
As much as Corbin
it's not something
I
want to put money in. I didn't play it last night.
Yeah, I played one game on it last night. But everybody else was on it.
Corbin wears Pulp Fiction.
It's in the other room.
Yeah, exactly.
You were rocking Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Corbin, takeaways on Avatar LE?
You know, it's very pretty.
Yeah.
Like we said. I mean, I'm just over the top, of course. I think I've had maybe a dozen games on it max.
Yeah, probably less than that.
Probably less than that. But it seems like a fun game. It's got some cool shots.
What did you think of the flow chart to navigate your way around through all of the modes?
I literally never pay attention to any of that stuff, so it really didn't help me that much. But
you framed it.
I did frame it because it felt nice.
just rules are so
it clashed
much,
it up a little bit.
You know,
I think
the rules are so
contrary to his. I like the mini play field
because I liked it too.
And it had that little crab suit down there. See, that kind of stuff gets me.
It also seemed to
my downside. Good. I was say that little dude dancing around. The ball bounced off and knocked his leg off a day out in the wild. But
jeez,
one day
poor
out,
little mech suit guy.
His leg comes off down in the trough, jams it up. Going, taking care of that.
What I liked about the tiny little playfield too was that it wasn't just bashing that crab suit with a couple little targets. Like there was an orbit of either side of it to go around,
It wasn't dead center. Also, how it was off to the side a little bit.
Yeah, I think I like it.
AC/DC have that same little orbit though?
It does, but it's dead center in the playfield. I don't know.
This makes it feel more like you're looking into another world, like under that. You know,
you're looking underwater.
It's all part of like the immersive. I think that's kind
world
of what's
going under glass
in a world.
And like I said, with the UV thing, I'm definitely curious to see the three color versus the one color.
I'm also interested in seeing the topper because what Don from Don's Pinball Podcast was saying when he was at the factory that the topper is just absolutely bonkers. Mm.
Yeah,
it's like take the one from Mandalorian and multiply it by like 10. That's the sort of
That's what I heard they're doing with the Stern Venom ones. It's supposed to be something like that.
I have so many people that are so excited for those accessories, and they'd been building it up that this topper was going to be like the topper to end all toppers, and then all of a sudden I'm hearing through interviews that we couldn't get that to work, so now we're going to have to do something else. It's like
bummer.
We're going to have to go to Plan C.
Yeah. Anyway, Avatar, I liked it. I'd say, I'm curious to play it a little more and everything, see how it does. I feel like the reception we've had of it so far has been, people seem to like it. And it's a pretty game. What's not to...
The one takeaway I did have from it, though, and I don't know, Jeff didn't have it set up very steep at his house. It was pretty flat.
We put it up steeper when we put it out.
I hope it helped.
The gameplay was really long.
It's a long player.
It was a long player, but we figured that. But where those play fields were, like the plastic on there, it seemed like it changed the ball path.
I had to definitely do it to me a few times.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's like, I'm sure that's something you guys can tweak and make it flatter.
Yeah, you can
adjust
out the little screws. Someone just told me they put a different one on there.
Really?
Different plastic.
But it seemed like every time I had like a reject on that side of the play field. Where it was coming back slowly, it kind of curved around it.
Yeah,
I probably didn't notice that because I hit my shot so clean.
Never rolled back on it. With those very powerful flippers.
Mr. 3 billion over here.
That was epic. If I didn't have witnesses to that, like everyone would be throwing around accusations of the glass being off. But
yeah, well, we were all there.
The truth is the truth.
You just had these demands.
I've gotten those so many times. I'm like, why?
I think I had two different people message me and say, like, man, look, he cleaned his fingerprints off the inside of the glass this time.
Trying to be courteous to other players. Come on. Trying to be part of the...
being one of them.
Oh, man. What'd you think, Zach?
Like, everyone else said, the light show's awesome on it. I thought it was kind of random on the outlane on the left-hand side, how instead of like just kicking the ball back, it like held it for a second.
It was interesting. Yeah. Yes.
I never seen that before.
It was like staging the ball, like I'm going to grab it.
Stop it, stall, then
feed that upper flipper.
Yeah, to that upper flipper.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, but I felt like it was always on, like it never drained down the left side.
Such a long player.
Right.
Yeah, like felt like kickback was always on.
Yeah.
And I know one of the games that I played on it, I kept getting many extra balls, and I know they're talking about in future code like nerfing some of the extra ball stuff because you can stack them up pretty
quick.
Then
the left hand only mode, left flipper only.
That was cool. Corbin got into that.
Yeah, I got it.
I got the one time.
Yeah,
it was
and
a lot
I got
of
like
fun.
One flip, and then it was like, hey, it's fed to the right. What am I supposed to do? Just let it go.
I think when the video dropped like of it, I'm like, that's the only thing I think is cool about this game.
The left hand combo is cool. Yeah. I like that. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
But then I loved all of the, so Jersey Jacks are known for having all the different skill shots that you can get to. So you hit the action button and you can scroll through all of the different ones. And it's always neat to me. One of the main lock shots is the left orbit. So you can make that your skill shot, hit that skill shot. And it's like a 2-for-1. You get the super skill shot and then you're also locking a ball simultaneously, which I thought was really, really, really neat. I had a lot of fun on it. I would think in a home, it would be a ton of fun.
Yeah, that's where I'd really crank it up, hear some sound and stuff.
Yeah, turn the lights down, crank it up. Like, it's a fully immersive game. It's like the gentleman we were talking to today that we delivered the alien to. I told him and his partner, I'm like, hey, whenever you guys go to play this tonight, once the sun goes down, like, turn down the lights, crank up the sound on this.
He's encouraging all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I think when I
he's like, first I'll still played, be here. Don't
light a few candles, you know.
I think when I came over and played Alien in Your Garage one time randomly at 8 o'clock in the morning or something, I'm like, can we turn the lights off?
Yep.
And like, it was like, oh, this is way better.
It's a completely different and better experience. And Avatar, I felt the same way about it. Once I moved it into the game room, I was like, oh yes, we can control all of this. But yeah, overall, definitely fun, excited. I know everyone, like we had, Corbin, you had people come from Western PA to come over to Akron, Ohio to play Avatar. And it's like, hey, if you guys listen to this podcast, you know that this game is coming to Pittsburgh. So you made a little bit of a drive for a lot of reasons.
They got to play it 100 games before everybody else.
Yeah, so... very cool. Thanks again to Jersey Jack for getting out our showroom/display game. And I think it's always fun to get those ones, you know, instead of just putting them in a static showroom and having people, oh, come to the showroom and check out this game, like to get them out to these events. So
it seems like they had a pretty good turnout last night, too.
So quarter up for their Monday, even if it's just a regular Monday night tournament, they get a good turnout. Whenever we bring something special, it definitely amps it up a little bit. It's funny now, though, because the regulars up there
are all spoiled.
They are so spoiled. Like, if you're listening, like, not spoiled in a bad way, but it was...
I don't know you, by the way.
Yeah, so. Like, Avatar's cool and we're having a good time, but when's X-Men coming? When's this coming? When's that coming? It's like, don't worry.
Yeah, when is X-Men coming?
Oh, I kind of thought maybe...
Me and Zach haven't got to play that one yet.
I still have not.
I played one game on it.
Let's talk a little X-Men.
All right, we're talking.
It looks sweet.
Yeah, let's start with Zach. So, Zach, from what you've seen but not played...
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like Gold Wings, which I have fun with. I know it looks like shit, but you know,
I love Gold Wings.
It's a lot of fun, so I'm excited for it. I want to play it. I mean, I'm an X-Men fan, so a good theme.
I'm really surprised, and like, I'm not like super whatever. I'm a pro guy. Everybody knows I'm a pro guy, but it doesn't look that stripped down.
No, I mean, they took off the two hand mechs, basically.
And what? And the head doesn't go up and down.
The head doesn't go up and down. Mechs.
Because it's so...
They are sick.
You need
mechs.
The rest
I'm
of that
play
field to make any of it work.
And it's super simple, like, the way they did it. So it's like, this actually...
Yeah. Maybe you can just, like, put on the one that had a trail. You just, like, make it tilt. It just never fucking goes.
Just have it locked.
It never actually it's makes permanent. The whole have a trail. It just always falls off.
Add a Godzilla in or something.
Yeah.
Well, once my beer.
Once we got under the play field, though, I was amazed how simple, like how cool the mechs are, but then how simple the execution of it is. So the finger, the Sentinel finger that flips the ball back up the habit trail is literally just a coil that fires and sends it. And then the other side where the hand crashes through the other habit trail, again, is just a coil that actuates it. And then it folds down, which is super cool. And then the levitating ball on the return of the left habit trail, I thought, oh, it just levitates. There's like must be a magnet or something.
Just a pin.
It's literally just a pin. It's like
slides over back.
Okay. Yeah, it's so simple, but it's so freaking cool.
Very effective effect.
It's like pinball magic in the floating ball.
Yeah. And then we were looking when we were setting up Outlaw magic. Bobs. That was the one that you, Corbin, played a game on
my
to where
game.
We were trying to figure out, well, what's the intended way to get into the danger room? And it's like, oh, well, you hit this shot on this little ramp on the left-hand side that then feeds the ball
around.
All the way across the play field, up another ramp, down a habit trail, back over to the danger room. It's like you look at it and you think, oh, there's no way that could work. And then you hit the shot. It's like, holy crap, that's amazing.
I would imagine you even have to hit it real clean.
No.
As long as it exits with some velocity.
Yeah,
I
then
saw
it carries
someone
it through.
On Facebook, he was doing it with the ball. He's like, watch how easy it is. And he's like, kind of flipped it with his finger, barely any power, and it made it up and around, no problem.
There's that one loop that was real satisfying. That was real quick.
So nobody had like an amazing game, but Corbin on his ball three like got into some awesome combos.
Some cool combos, yeah, they felt pretty nice.
I feel like it's from like Foo Fighters, you know.
Exactly.
Real flowy, real sweet.
Yeah, it's just the ball was coming back to the flippers so fast, and the ball paths going underneath plastics and just in directions that...
I just think that's going to be danger style. That's just the way it's going to be.
I have nothing wrong with that.
No.
Keep doing what you're doing, bud.
I love my Jurassic Park home. I mean, I'll say it a million other times. Like,
the game's not being said.
It is. It's a great game.
I kind of enjoyed it.
Once I was on the game and you're tracking the ball...
The flipper feel of a stern?
He's talking about them being offset.
I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the positioning.
Oh, well.
Once I'm playing, I didn't know it didn't affect me at all.
Whatever.
Because I almost forgot about the danger room until I got into it. And I'm like, oh, wait, there's this whole other thing over here that I need to focus on.
Yeah, kick it back up.
Zach, how was your experience playing?
It was amazing, Kyle. How about yours?
Oh, dude.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, mine too.
See, these two are trying to peer pressure Corbin into unboxing the LED.
Well, he literally said that he didn't get an extra one, that it didn't show up, so...
It didn't. It was legitimately lost all weekend.
Right. Yeah. But
it was so weird. They called, so you called and they said it was there. Then some guy calls me and is like, hey, I just want to let you know we found it, but it's going to be in tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Right.
And then, an hour later, I get a call from a lady and she's like, hey, it's in. And I'm like,
yeah.
All right.
Well, they delivered to the wrong. What?
I have no idea.
They literally Stern, Schaumburg, they go to the FedEx hub over there and then they all get on the same truck.
Right.
So everybody hold hands. Who's your partner? Well, that's the problem.
Is they all moving buddy.
They all say one of, you know, one of five or one of two, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Like normal
all
shipping.
Labeled together.
That was the problem, is an odd number was coming to us, so somebody didn't have a moving buddy, so they got
like,
okay, it's fine.
Potato head got left behind.
Left at the rest stop.
I'm interested to see what number it is, though, because we had, 70?
It was a 70-something.
76, 134.
Kevin McAllister situation?
Maybe 75, I'm thinking. I think it might be 75.
Kevin! But I saw some of the cereal, the one Don got from our Chicago depot was 300 and something. So we had ones as low as 70, and then ones as high as into the 300s.
Hmm. It's wild. Why do they do that?
I don't know, because I know it's not going to be sequential, but you would think if you're getting 10 or 12, they're going to be within 20 or 30 numbers of each other.
Yeah, because they're all just going to come off together.
And how would you prioritize
certain
number either, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you can pay if you want,
number 77.
75 or whatever, you can pay for it.
Yeah. 1 through 50 is an extra $1,000 if you want it. 51 through 811 is 500. Am I remembering that correctly?
I think so.
Yeah. So.
Oh, we're allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean it's public information.
Okay. It's not that's what you pay as a customer.
Yeah.
I'm not paying that shit.
No,
I don't care what's number. Avengers is 54 or 57 or something.
I think it's in the 50s. Yeah,
it was the guy's car model year or whatever.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Same guy got it every
time. The person who
he canceled on it, and so then it was during COVID. So
yeah,
right.
Like, oh, okay.
Well, we've had some interesting numbers come through over time. I had someone that got an Avira Blood Red Kiss that got number 13. I thought that was kind of
that's cool. Yeah,
just to have an Avira.
I'm surprised not somebody didn't scoop that up.
Yeah,
I think the
they already bought number 13 at least
three or five.
I think the Turtles is number five.
That early X-Men Stern we had was five, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. It was, yeah. Wish that was a better game, because I love that theme.
Right.
You mean Rush?
Stop it, Kyle.
Sorry.
John Borg might be listening.
Oh, I love John. I want to buy him a beer at Expo.
All right, so we touched on Kleepin, we touched on X-Men, we touched on Avatar, PGX, Quarter Up. Let's talk about some of the cool stuff that's been coming in on trades and whatnot. So one of our customers who picked up an X-Men LE traded in his Jersey Jack Hobbit LE. Ooh. And once again, Corbin was so generous.
He just moves in his house and he's like, he's so generous. It's like...
I pulled that into
Jeff
the game
will
room.
Buy a game and it just sits in his trailer for a few months.
Yeah, that's kind of
Ultraman.
Is Ultraman been in your house yet?
Tia might be listening, so we can't talk about
games. That one that you sold.
She already knows about Ultraman.
Well, no, she knows about it, but she was salty that certain games aren't at home.
Ultraman,
where's Rick and Morty? Where's Ultraman?
Why does she want Rick? Did she play Rick and Morty?
It's because Rick and Morty was so expensive, her hang up on it is that, which I understand.
COVID price.
Yeah, for real. But yeah, The Hobbit. So got traded in. It already had the upgraded capacitors on the IO board. So it has the snappier, stronger flippers. Completely changes that game. Still not a great, amazing game for me. But second game that I played on it, There are 31 total modes in it. I started or completed 21 modes, made it into 2 out of 3 wizard modes. It was like, I'm seeing parts of this game that
quit
I...
Quit taking the glass off.
These just fucking... sitting there.
Oh, it's a fucking Jersey Jack. I'm just going to diddle you a little bit.
Come here, little hobbit. I'm going to diddle you.
Oh, God.
But yes, so
cut that for a button.
Tia went upstairs.
Hobbit doodling.
And I'm like, hey, as soon as I'm done diddling this hobbit, I'll be upstairs. And she comes downstairs like 25 minutes later. She's like, you're still on the same game? I'm like, yeah. I have 3.5 million points right now. Like, things obviously, I've been playing this for a
ball
long
one.
Time.
3 extra balls.
I haven't played that yet. I should play it.
Yes, definitely. Everyone.
What's that thing weigh, like 755 pounds?
That's what I said to Corbin today.
It's heavier than Lebowski's.
It's heavier than Lebowski.
Wow.
I had to have Noren help me pick up the back end of it to put the legs on.
Your pin pillow to pick it up.
My pin pillow.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah. My pin prop? My pin something.
Maybe been a prop.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Pinball Adventures. Oh, boy. So having tons of fun on that one. If someone is...
Are you, though?
Oh, I'm... so between Avatar and that, like, I've been getting nothing done because I've just been playing pinball.
I don't
pinball.
Even know who you are anymore.
I know. I finally...
JJP guy. Oh,
breaking news. Is there a breaking news sounder over here, Kyle? So Star Trek LE, I've had for a while now, and Pop had the top score on there, the GC, the entire time that I've had it. I'm not one to reset my scores
no.
to set my own. I've got to legitimately.
I know you made
it.
A post and was like, yeah, I don't. Nobody does.
Yeah, no one that
hopefully
responded.
Nobody respectable right. resets their scores.
All the responses that I got were no. I've got to take them down legitimately. So
yeah.
I made it through all of the modes in the game, which then gives you Kobayashi Maru Multiball, which is the first mini wizard mode.
Yeah.
And then if you beat all the level 2 ones, it then takes you into Enterprise Amok, which is the furthest that I've ever made it into the game. And all of the bonuses that you get when you go into those mini wizard modes are definitely what adds up your score. Because otherwise I would have had maybe like 230 million. But I got crazy bonuses going into each one of those multi-balls, which finally took down Mr. Pop, and that felt good.
I got one of your high scores at your house, too.
For Mr. Tank's birthday party, everybody was over, having some pizzas, playing some pinball. And I said at the very beginning, hey, I need someone to take down the current GC on Deadpool Premium and put up a new GC. Mm. And of course, Mr. Corbin took the challenge, went over there.
One game on her.
One game. One game.
Casually.
New GC. So now I've got a new
score.
Yeah,
I was just like casually playing some Godzilla or whatever. I'm like, I'm going to go after this. And then I stood there for like 40 minutes. My Corbin just blew it up. Because he doesn't know what he's doing. You're like, dude, you just need to collect whatever this and that weapon or whatever. And
he's collecting weapons.
Yeah.
He's going into battles.
And then just boom, just blew it up.
Got Katana multi-ball. He's got mech suit multi-ball.
Yeah. We're like, oh, we think you almost got it. Like on ball 2, and he already had blown it out of the water.
It was insane.
It was a good game. Good time.
That was a good game and a good time. But no, that was a good night. So Hobbit,
at one point you're like, oh shit, I should probably sign in.
Go ahead and get some achievements here.
Unlock some badges.
If you're looking for a 2016 Hobbit LE with a topper, upgraded IO board, all of that stuff, get at Jeff at madpinball.com or Corbin at madpinball.com.
2016, did they make them other years?
So they actually, I think they did 3 different editions of this one.
Oh, okay.
I don't
they
know.
They did it like a standard then, right?
No,
yeah.
Like a
2016
like a
Honda Civic for sale.
OBO.
281,000 miles.
I know what I'm doing.
She's fresh.
But no, it's fantastic condition. Having a great time on it. What's that? I think we had $8,500 on it. So if you're local, come pick it up.
Wow.
Put some cash in my hand.
I think that's a good deal.
It is. Yeah. It's. I mean, we gave kind of a pretty fair price on it and
you
trade
have to
in,
like
so.
Pick it up and take it though yourself.
I'll help you load it into your vehicle, but if I have to bring it to your house, like you're gonna have to provide the ibuprofen or whatever it's gonna take to get it into your game room. So then we're also taking in, finally shipping was confirmed today from the West Coast to Ohio, another JJP, a little Wonka LE.
Yeah.
One of our
we're gonna play that for a little while.
That one's gonna probably hang for a little bit. Yeah. But an operator out there on the West Coast is he's trading that in, and it was towards he's getting an X-Men premium. So definitely a little switch up there.
That's a good move.
Yeah, I think he had this Wonka in his like home collection. It wasn't routed, so that one will be coming in and may or may not come up for sale here in the short term or the long term. But if you're looking for one, once again, email the boys at madpinball.com and we'll get you squared away. So that's the cool stuff that's been coming through the game room. You guys want to talk a little bit of Pinball Expo? Can you believe that we're only, less than 2 weeks away from...
I've been training hard for Olympics.
Is that eating tacos, training, drinking beers?
I'm eating tacos while playing pinball, so, you know.
Yeah.
Just getting my game on.
It is coming up pretty quick. We're going to get through this week, so we're going to get these games out to PGX, get the games back, and then that following week, that Friday, we'll be headed out to Pinball Expo.
Next Friday?
Yeah.
Dude, a week from this coming. Friday?
I know. We probably should get like our accommodations booked and figure out. But yeah, I think the game plan on that is to leave super early on Friday morning, get out to Chicago, hit the expo.
Yeah, that's coming up fast.
That's coming up quick, man.
Busy weekend.
So if anybody is at the Chicago Pinball Expo on the Friday there, stop out and say hello if you see us wandering around. I've heard that maybe...
You're going to hang out with Mr. Fix for a little
while. So we're teaming up with our friends at the Electric Playground, working, you know, having some shirts and stuff at their booth. So I think there might be an Electric Playground booth takeover. Mr. Corbin Angeli might be there from like 7 to 8 o'clock. So. Oh,
yeah. Signing autographs.
No, I'm not. 7 to 8 o'clock at night?
He'll have
in the morning.
He'll have 8x10 breakfast, glossy photos of himself from him winning the Pinball Olympics
Mr. Fix
trophy.
Will be with me.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Last week, so
I'll fix it.
I hear the autographs are going to be pretty reasonable, so just
a beer per autograph.
Stop by and say hello. But yeah, Friday that we'll be doing that. Probably we'll do the traditional head downtown Friday night, hit up Logan Arcade.
Bob, I'm signing autographs at 7 o'clock at night.
Come on, you know we're not heading down to Logan until way after that. Come on.
Well, we'll leave at 8, get there at 10:30.
Yeah, I mean, that's the typical drive into town. Yeah, yeah. It's like a half hour for every mile that you have to go. And then Saturday.
We got Olympics on Saturday.
Isn't that part of the training, though?
It absolutely is.
Yeah, yeah. You got to drink and stay up all night. That's how you
And then Saturday will be Pinball Olympics, which we've been hearing from a bunch of people that are podcast listeners and people in our circle that we know that are going to be going for the first time. So
excitement. I'm disappointed Don's not going with us this year.
He is such a social butterfly that he can't be pried away from Expo for too long.
I know.
He's going to have that media mixer going on.
We'll miss you. I'll see you a little bit while we're
out
there.
Did we get invited to the media mixer?
We did. We got invited to the, what is it called?
Did Mad Pinball or did Fresh Pinball?
It was Fresh Pinball, specifically Fresh Pinball.
On Wednesday?
It was this week in pinball media mixers on Thursday. So then Mad Pinball was invited to the Stern distributor on Wednesday.
And the Stern Army on Friday.
But I think
we did have an open bar.
I think the JJP one does too.
Oh, God.
Open bar, dude.
Yeah. So we're going to have some decisions to make for sure, but it should be a good time.
I think it'd be amusing. What if we just set, while we're at that, we set Tank and Keith loose on the Stern open bar?
Yeah, I think
we're gonna have to have a conversation after this podcast,
as we always should. So, Pinball Expo coming up, Kyle. What are you most excited for? What do you hope to see? What do you hope to play? What do you hope to do? What sort of debauchery?
We're hoping to play new X-Men because you know we don't know what we're going to get here.
I hope there's a new X-Men.
I hope I can play new X-Men. There, yeah.
You guys are so salty. We've flipped one game. I've flipped three.
Have.
More than us.
Me and Zach could have GC'd both of them.
We could have. I didn't mind initials out of my one game.
I did.
Not for like a high score, but for some
it was
mode.
Like a mode.
Something.
I mean, pinball related. I don't know. I'm not really. I'm just seeing the people, man.
It is.
Yeah. Just seeing people the vibe. We don't see all the time.
We were talking about that a little bit pre-podcast, where when the three of us, me, Corbin, and Kyle, went 3 years ago, we were completely anonymous.
God, it was so awesome.
We were just kind of like back in the shadows doing whatever we wanted. This last year with Zach along, it's like, okay, people kind of know who we are a little bit. We're doing the panel, whatever. This year, I think it might be even a little more weird. Yeah, it'll be fine. I'll wear a hat.
I want to wear a disguise for sure.
Yeah, Mr. Fixed is going with me.
So since Corbin has the epic beard, instead of wearing like how people wear the bald skull caps, he's going to wear the bald face cap so that people just think he's cleanly shaven.
Real weird looking deformed face.
Zach, anything you're excited for at Pinball Expo?
Just, you know, getting out there, playing all the games. Seeing what homebrew is coming through this year. I hope we play that TNA head-to-head thing again. That was cool. Yes,
I definitely want to get on that.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that Joust head-to-head for 10 grand?
I saw somebody picked up a Joust head-to-head
for 10 grand.
No, for $100. Where? It was like in Georgia or something. Fuck. Yeah.
How do we miss that? We saw that cabinet,
Craigslist.
Though,
I bet it was on Craigslist. I'm telling you, that's why I checked Craigslist still. Somebody would have put that up there like weird coffee table, $100.
It has these fighting ostriches.
On my way.
I'm literally on my way right now. They post it online.
They're like, oh, thanks, Fresh Pinball. Checks the Craigslist.
I'm excited to see if Space Hunt is there. That's definitely one that I want to get some time on. The homebrews I've heard is going to be more prominently featured. So I'm excited to, after TPF and seeing the quality of some of those down there, I'm excited to get on those. If Alice is there from Dutch Pinball.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Definitely.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Because I could see them, if they do bring it, they're going to bring one, which is going to make the line.
Yeah. Oh, outrageous.
If it's even going to be playable, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm interested to see. Lebowski's
supposed to be cut off at the end of the year.
How long have we been teasing that now, though?
Alice?
Yeah.
They respond on Pinside. Yeah. They actually interact with the terrorists from time to time.
What? Yeah. They engage with the terrorists?
They will.
Don't negotiate with terrorists.
And they're literally like, when you see it, you'll get over your issues or whatever. So like,
they're confident. Wow. I like it. A little cocky. But the thing that I'm most excited to see,
pretty much, yeah.
Corbin already knows, it has the flow chart of all flow charts and how to navigate this game.
Avatar?
Pinball Brothers, ABBA. Need to get a little bit of time.
Is it
going to
be on 2-ball?
I don't know.
Is it going to be on 12-ball?
That's right. Nobody knows. I remember that time. What didn't they?
On Queen.
Queen.
Yeah.
2-ball.
Well, that's because the game got there with literally, like, you would get into modes and it would just be the song. There would be no indication on the playfield whatsoever. It would just be Freddie Mercury belting out "We Are the Champions."
You can take this home with you today.
Why?
Can I?
Does mine light up?
But yeah, I showed Corbin. They'd put out on social media the flow chart of all of the modes in ABBA. And then we put it side by side to the one on Avatar. And it's like, a little bit different here. You'd have to be a really special ABBA fan to want to put that game into your lineup. But it's one I'm sure
there must be a market for it.
There's definitely a market for it. I mean,
I'd flip it. If they have one there, I'll play it.
They have it. Why not? Yeah,
absolutely.
It's, again, the whole European thing that we've come back to over and over again in all of the different interviews we've done or heard of, that there is a completely different market over there that has, you know, not necessarily always specific a connection tastes with what we want. Very specific tastes. But yeah, excited for that. Pinball Olympics, I definitely want to get on if they have the exercise bike hooked up to the get my cardio going that way.
It's so good. I don't know why you guys didn't do that.
I didn't, because you were on it the whole time with the guy serving you Coronas. It was I've never seen you drink Carlos. So many Coronas.
Corona Carlos. Yeah.
And then I definitely want to play No Good Gophers with the two men dressed in gopher costumes heckling me.
See, in the way they had it set up is I was pedaling on my EM watching that. So it was like
double win.
Dang. Yeah.
And then now that we know, we need to get to the upstairs of the outbuilding and we need to play a certain 4-player cocktail game.
It's on.
Mm.
Or you turn it on.
Try and we turn need on. To make sure that it's turned on because we need to be playing some Rotation 8. That's one that we have since learned about. Know it's there, ready to rock and roll.
Hiding in plain sight.
And then I heard that Zach and MB have been in deep training TNA immersion booth.
Just not trying to suck this year at it. We all went in, we're like, we're going to do good. And we're like, did not even get a reactor going.
Shit the bed.
Yeah, I feel like we need to learn how to like deal with the pressure. Like somehow we need to simulate the pressure at home.
I think we might just have to build one
Build a fire in the garage.
Do we have like a stack of car batteries and I can hook up like whenever you guys aren't doing well, I can just zap you with like the car battery?
It has to be on the nipples or they won't respond.
I mean, obviously that's where like all of the nerve endings are. So, I mean, we've got to just clamp down. So excited for Pinball Olympics. I know you guys are already talking about, I mean, so if there is another long line for those TNA immersion booths,
I'm not going
to. I'm going to make Tank stand in it and go somewhere else. Tank, stay. Good boy.
You stay right here. You stay here. There'll be a treat involved.
I'll bring you a couple tacos, dude, all right?
Double tacos.
I think we time it right because I think by the end of it, there wasn't really as big of a line.
I think so too. We made the mistake of going straight there. We need to go to other things first. Like, by the time I figured out the garage,
I'm just going to the naughty room and never coming out.
The naughty room.
I figured that's where we'd find you.
Yeah. Isn't that Corbin's room?
It's Kyle. He can take his time in there.
Take his time in there.
Thanks, buddy.
Oh, you pulled it.
Oh, it's happening. So while we were delivering an X-Men LE today, Outlaw Pinball, Bob was showing us the Pin Snake, which I'd been seeing all over social media, of a cleaning device. And it's basically a bunch of like 3D printed snake component segments that all go together. And then there's a special microfiber cloth that wraps around it so that you can get into all kinds of crazy nooks and crannies that you can't easily
actually
get
into. Special cloth?
It actually seemed pretty cool.
Yeah,
sounds pretty cool, actually.
It's special because it's just the size that wraps up around the side of it, like perfectly.
Perfectly fits the pin snake.
I could cut one. Really easily,
pin snake.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
So I'd looked online into buying one, and it had been so popular that it was like a multiple month wait to get one. But I heard he's going to be at Pinball Expo selling them.
I'd get one if they had one there.
Yeah, and that they're going to be available there. So Pinball Expo attendees.
I mean, I guess it beats like a bendy magnet on a with a.
Yeah.
Or I just don't do it. You just don't do it sometimes.
I mean, if I can't see the dirt,
tell me
the
you're
dirt
an operator
really there
without telling me you're an operator.
But yeah,
or Bob, take it apart all the way. I don't do.
Yeah, it's true.
Either I strip the top of the playfield or I don't clean it. There's
no
in between.
The areas you can get to, but like
his website's currently down.
Oh, everybody must be listening live. They've overloaded
the
servers.
We've seen like four. What's a 4-pack looking like?
Yeah. Well, Bob already said get the pin snake and make sure that you get the 3-pack or whatever of the cloths.
The extra cloths.
I feel like I'm prepared for the pin snake.
Rude.
So that's going to be, I mean, if I get that, I'm just going to be running around like cleaning all your machines, Corbin. Like,
you do you, man.
I need your keys.
Go for it.
I need to get in there.
I need to clean that shit, man.
No, man, look how dirty this pin snake cloth is. Look at all this dirt I got. It's like, you're that person now. It's like, hey, look at this. Look.
Always judging.
All right. Final-ish item that I have for the podcast this time is Alice Cooper Nightmare Castle. So not only just a game that we as a group have been chasing for some time now.
To recapture.
Former glory.
I just should have put that deposit down and never paid him.
Anyway, we've had a regular local customer that we've been doing work for that has an Alice Cooper Nightmare Castle.
And he's a pretty big Alice fan.
Super big Alice fan. Been to the shows, met him, got autographs, all of that. It came up with another customer that was looking for an Alice Cooper. I was explaining, hey, you know, there are some available on Pinside that are used, whatever else. He's like, I'm not really sure I want a used one. Trying to tell him, like, I don't know that there are really any
500 or 750 of those.
I feel like 500 feels like the right number. But I'm like, hey, there really aren't
five
new inbox Alice Coopers left. He's like, well, no, if you go to this website, there are Alice Coopers left. I'm like, no way. Like, this has to be like some sort of scam. Yeah. So if you go to alicecooperpinball.com, there actually are some Alice Cooper pinball machines left that are
500 is what.
Okay. 500 total production. Yeah, yep. So this Alice Cooper's Solid Rock Teen Center. So basically his foundation, when these games were originally made, took 10 units, and then when customers ordered them, they would do three different packages, a bronze package, a silver package, or a gold package that would get you different little additions onto the game. So for the bronze, you would get custom Solid Rock playfield tray graphic between the flippers signed by Alice himself. Custom flipper instructions, triangle decals featuring actual images of Alice, custom award card art, autographed photo of Alice posed with his Nightmare Castle, large Alice Naked. Cooper Nightmare Castle challenge medallion personalized with the buyer's name, bronze Solid Rock challenge medallion featuring Alice in makeup, and a thank you letter for supporting the cause.
I want an Alice Cooper cardboard cutout, too.
So I can hang out with him while I'm playing. Hell
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then the silver edition, in addition to all of that, gets you interior cabinet graveyard decals. I'm guessing those would be the interior art blades. A shaker motor, real knocker kit, 5-piece plastic protector set, custom powder coat trim, and a .999 fine silver solid rock challenge medallion that replaces the bronze medallion.
Yeah, fuck that bronze one.
I feel like, isn't that the way that game came?
A medallion?
No, not the fucking medallions, but all the other shit that's on there.
But if the bronze and the silver aren't enough, you like, could upgrade.
Play field, play actors. Oh, $16.
You can go for the gold.
Did it have the art blades in probably?
I would imagine.
You had it in your basement?
I don't remember.
I know.
Shit.
I don't remember either. You get the butter.
I obviously didn't lowball Jeff on it.
You get the butter cabinet, hand-dipped in rich colored ink, rolled with automotive clear coat, and buffed to shiny perfection. Really? That's what Tia says when I take my shirt off. She's like, he's buffed to shiny perfection.
She's talking about your fucking head.
It is my head. Autographed Nightmare Castle back glass translite suitable for framing, and your medallion is upgraded to a 24-karat gold.
So you get a back glass in the game and one for the wall?
You do.
Okay.
Perfect for framing. Frame not included.
Well, no.
So yeah,
that's the double gold platinum.
Powder-coated interior blades.
So this gentleman that was looking for this game contacted the foundation, and apparently out of the original 10 ones that they purchased, they've sold 7 in different trim levels, and they have 3 left. So if you wanted to get the gold package of the Alice Cooper Nightmare Castle Edition, Kyle, what do you think the cost on the Alice Cooper gold?
No, I want the bronze. I want the cheapest one. No.
They don't even gold. Sell it. If you ask that, they're like, "That's not. This isn't for you."
They'll be like, "This is for the children, Kyle. Can't you upgrade to gold?"
We only have the gold left.
I only like kids if they're like real small or.
Well, this is for 12 to 20-year-olds, which is weird for a teen center since you have 12, which is not teen, and 20, which is not teen. But
20, you're an adult. Get a job.
Cut your fucking hair.
Real talk from Zach. What do you think? What's your number? Gold edition.
14,000.
Okay, 14,000. Corbin?
Because they were what?
I told you the number. Do you remember the number?
How much were they new? Like 75?
Yeah.
I think it was like 17.
Okay. Zach?
I'll go with 16,500.
Corbin did remember accurately. $17,000. So you have to figure like about 10,000 of that would be going probably to his foundation. So pretty cool little donation there, but I thought that was an interesting nugget.
If anyone's going to upgrade,
so is he going for it then?
So he actually ended up getting one of these editions, one of these 7 that someone had already gotten and was selling it
secondhand.
So he bought it secondhand, but he was getting one of those editions.
What did it end up? Do you have any? What
I forget what he said he paid. He did tell me, but
was it under 17?
Yes, yes, it was significantly under. But at the time, like, I had never heard of this. I wasn't aware of it. I was like, hey, man, this sounds like it could possibly be a scam. Yeah. Let me, like, research this a little bit. So, like, I called, like, I found the name that was attached to the website, called the person, and, like, found it all kinds
legit.
Of...
this is legit.
Yeah, it's legit.
That's really cool that Alice Cooper obviously was involved in this.
He's a cool dude, man.
Yeah.
It's cool that he was involved. I'm sure Spooky, who are awesome people, had a hand in like probably getting those 10 games to him at cost, you know, as probably part of the deal of doing the licensing and everything else. So, yeah, I thought that was super fascinating. But I think those are all of the notes that I have for this current episode. So I'm going to go across the table to Mr. Corbin. Any final thoughts here, buddy?
No, I'm just reflecting on our day of... tires blow.
Did we tell this story?
You did not.
Oh, all right. Yeah. We need to. We're almost at an hour, but this story's got to be told.
So I should start playing the music right
now. And that's it.
So, in our dedication to getting these X-Men LEs out, we made so we're in Northeast Ohio, went through Central Ohio into the Columbus metro area, all the way out to Western Ohio, to Botkins, Vandalia, Dayton area. Yeah. So we start the morning at, you know, an early 7:30, hop in the truck, trailer's loaded up. Let's, you know, head into Columbus, get to our first stop, drop off the alien, get it set up.
Doing good.
Everybody's feeling good. Everyone's doing good. So we leave that location, and the GPS gives me 2 different options of how to get to the highway. That's right. And I'm like,
well, hell, this one's shorter.
I start
the longer one.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, let's take this longer one because it's gonna take like it just seems like
or whatever.
Yeah, nice. We're pulling a trailer, so it sounds like a nice looks like a nice straighter route. So we're making a hard right hand turn from a county road onto a state road. And anyone, you know, knows sometimes people go off the road a little bit and start to create a little bit of a pothole or a pit there. So Corbin pulls the right hand turn just a little too tight and the back passenger side tire.
Were you guys driving 3500?
No, we're in
the classic. We're in the gold truck.
The classic.
Oh, nice. The classic.
The rim just barely clips the inside edge of this pothole, and it just catches it just right to where it bends the rim, and all you hear is
immediately.
Corbin and I both look at each other, drop an expletive, pull over. He puts on the four ways. We get out. Okay. I knew that he had put the spare tire in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
Corbin is always awesome about making sure the four-way lug and the spare tire always make it on the truck.
Just like, because.
Yeah, he's always good for it. Yeah. So I'm like, I know we have the spare, no problem. So we're in the toolbox, and he pulls out, you know, all of this different stuff, and he's starting to loosen up the lug nuts. He's like, hey, go ahead and grab the floor jack out of the box up there, and we'll get this thing jacked up. I'm like, floor jack, like, somewhere not in here? He's like, oh, yeah, I think we forgot to put that back in there. So just go ahead and grab the jack out of the vehicle,
out of
the truck. This will be fine. Yeah. So thankfully, it was a nice little bottle jack. We get it jacked up.
The classic always comes through.
Yeah. Get the lug nuts off, get the spare tire on, drop the trailer, the weight back onto the spare tire, and there's about maybe 15 pounds of pressure in this tire.
When we got to the gas station, I think it said 14.
Yeah.
It said.
Just eyeballing
not
it.
Bad, not bad, not bad.
No.
So he's like, hey, I've got a can, like a big thing, you know, a big tank that you empty. Can fill with air. We go to put that on there. It's empty. It's like, all right, sure. Well, let's limp up here to the gas station, get this baby topped off. Get it topped off. We're rolling down the highway. Everything's good. We get into Columbus. We make our delivery in Columbus. Mm-hmm. No muss, no fuss. We hop back on the road. We're going west again out to Botkins. And we're about 15 minutes from our destination on this old country road through between all these cornfields. And all of a sudden I hear Corbin go, holy shit.
I saw the fender flying up in the air like it was...
I look into the passenger side mirror, and all I see is the fender like careening down like the shoulder of the road.
Yeah,
the tire just like completely torn apart. Yep. It was dry rotted, so the treads completely had separated from the side walls. So at this point, I'm like thinking in my head, do we have a spare tire for the spare tire? Right. Like, do we have backups for the backups here? So, of course, we park the trailer. We dump the trailer. Corbin leaves, like, a madman scrawling note on it, like, hey, we'll be back for this.
Piece of paper. I know. I said, like, getting a tire. And
no X-Men in here.
There's still two X-Men in there. There was a
Ninja Clips.
We're just leaving it sitting on the side of the road.
What, Deadpool was in there?
Deadpool, the Escalera.
There was some money in there. But yeah, he wrote in like crayon or something on like the scrap of paper that he then taped on with, I don't even know what it was.
It wasn't even legible.
Yeah. Right. So I'm looking up on my phone, like, hey, there's a Tractor Supply that's like 23 minutes from us. Let me give them a call as we're driving towards them and make sure that they have the size that we need ready to go. Because if we need to go somewhere else, we'll do that. So I'm on the phone, get on, you know, connected up. The girl actually goes back to the shelf to verify that it's there, puts her hands on it, confirms that they have what we need. She brings it up.
It says you have two in stock.
Exactly.
Should have picked up one of those chickens while we were there.
Yeah, no kidding.
The skeleton chicken.
So she even brings it up to the register for us, the whole nine yards. We get over there, $200
for a single trailer tire.
For like a single ply trailer. Yeah. So anyway. we paid the brick and mortar tax there for sure.
It's okay.
So then we get back in the truck. It's like, okay, let's go back and get the trailer. I look at Corbin. Corbin looks at me and I'm like, hey, did you like drop a pin on the map or something? Like where we left the trailer? He's like, no, like I figured you were the one doing the mapping that you had it on your phone. So about by memory... about six turns, probably no less than six turns, we somehow managed to navigate our way back. And we're going down this long straight stretch. I'm like, this seems kind of familiar. But again, when you're driving through cornfields, it all seems like very familiar. And then finally,
random landmarks we would catch.
Yeah, like the church that had
the cult church,
the cult that had like all the dorms.
Dude, this church we went by today, we went by it twice. I went there on one on the way back, and
so you were on the right
path. We did. It was a good sign, but there, it was
we're like there's the prison, there's the cult, right. There's the school,
the airport.
Ohio. There's the airport.
That place had like the little church area, and it probably had like enough dorms for like there's probably like at least four or five. Little like double story,
triple,
they were, yeah, it was some,
it was significant,
it was something.
If we couldn't find the trailer, honestly, I was ready to join because I'm not sure that like I would be welcome back at Mad Pinball if I couldn't find the trailer full of games.
Nah, we don't have any avatars in there, Jeff.
Well, we were joking after we found it. It's like, oh man, if we wouldn't have been able to, we would have had to have gotten Bob and Todd, the LE owners, of like get a search party out and like start searching a grid to try to find this trailer.
Well, we left the trailer.
But we're driving along finally and in the horizon.
X-Men assembled.
I can just barely behind a tree see the trailer and like this like warm glow of relief just washes over me. I'm like,
it's like parked by like a 1843 grave of some German immigrant, you know, just like
I'm
some weird ass
fairly convinced the house that we were parked at was abandoned because I went to the door to knock on it to let them know like, hey, if you're home
in the driveway or whatever,
but yeah, like this is here, but we're coming back for it, my like note. Shortly. Your terrorist ransom note. Yeah.
Fucking wrong turn just starts happening.
Oh my gosh.
It all could have been a lot worse.
So
that thing could have blown on the freeway.
It could have.
That would have been real bad. Then that, because you know that fender would hit some car and then swerves around.
So we get
who
the
knows?
Third tire.
I'd like to know the date code on that tire.
Oh, the dry rotted one?
Either one.
1992.
The one that was on it before was like
2019, 2020.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
The tire was fine. I am almost sure that tire is still fine. It's just the rim that's screwed. Yeah. This explicit episode has brought you in part
off
by
that rim. Put on the other rim.
Yeah, we could have, but I don't know the other rim then because we kind of drove on it once we not a lot, but backed around on it. And stuff,
right.
So I wouldn't know if I'd trust.
So we're on our third tire on that side of the trip, and oh we're like on
fender's
the
gone, looking like fender's a rat. It looks like a rat rod back there.
We're open wheeling it. And we're about 30 minutes from home. It's dark now. We're going down the freeway, going down 30. There's a semi to our right. And all of a sudden, I see this big rectangular thing in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And Corbin drives directly over top of it. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, there was a semi. I couldn't go anywhere. I'm like, do I need to drive right now? You can't just.
Like, we're closer. Zach can get here sooner.
So that was
children.
The kicker to it all.
Oh, children.
Was on the second flat tire. Zach, bless his heart.
I was trying to help you. You're here making fun of me. I'll remember this, Jeff.
Was like, hey,
you guys want to fight?
If you guys need me to come out, like I can.
Dude,
I would have
jumped
out
in the WRX and would have been cruising with a tire.
That would have been epic. Zach to save the day.
You don't think he would have done it, did
he? He definitely would have done it. He was ready to go.
Oh, I would have found a tire, but on the road, dude.
On the road again. So, yeah, that was, if you think that being a pinball distributor is all, you know, playing LEs and going to events and shows and visiting arcades, I can assure you it is not all glory.
It wasn't raining either. I mean, it was all.
I appreciate your positivity here.
I still won't feel bad for you. Am I supposed to feel bad for you?
Yeah.
Honestly, it was handled. We handled it pretty
well. Here's why you should feel bad. I had to sit in the hot truck while Corbin changed two tires. That's why you should feel bad.
He got out and sat on the fender for one of them. The first one when the fender was still there.
Yeah, once there was fucking fingernails.
We're all city working vibes.
Are we still here?
It was a problem with the bottle jack on the second one.
The gravel.
There were some problems. But that's all I've got. That was our adventure for today. Kyle, do you want to play us out with some Mad Pinball jingle here? Make everyone feel good with the Mad Pinball jingle. If you're coming out to Pinball Expo, we'd love to see you. Love to say hi. First game's on me.
At Expo.
Would you say that we're absolutely going to be there?
We are absolutely.
As long as we're going to play.
100% going to be there.
Jeff said absolutely.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening. See you guys
Bye.
Next time.